Thanks to you, the Adam Carolla Show has been going strong for 5 years and continues to grow because you share it with your friends, family, and coworkers. But now, the patent troll is suing me and threatening to shut down podcasting as we know it. Please visit fundanything.com/patent troll and donate to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund today. Your donation will help defeat the patent troll and keep podcasting free. Thank you and mahalo.
Drink your Java. Guess who's back? You know it, people.
I feel like it's been a long time.
We're back.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Hello, Mary and Tazi.
Hi, Malcolm Riddle.
Yeah, we're on there.
That's fine. I like this.
I played it before.
Have you?
Yeah, but I thought I'd bring it back. Yeah.
Shake that head.
You gotta shake it.
This is so like...
This is a swab look.
People don't know what you're doing.
They don't. I need to be on Ustream, people. So you guys can see.
It's a debonair look.
That's right. The debonair is back. And welcome to another show.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Good.
Did a... took last week off just because I had too much going on, too many irons in the fire, as they would say.
Oh.
Just working, you know, doing what I does.
Good.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for, don't ride the white horse. Enough with the thanks. If you wanna ride, don't ride the white horse. Mary, I'm shaking it.
Yeah. White horse. Feeling musical today. Don't ride the white horse.
White horse. Don't ride the white horse. That's what's up.
That's great. I want to dance.
No.
Oh, look out. Strike a pose.
Old school. Strike a pose.
Strike a pose, man. Every now and again, you got to strike a pose. You know, like JB Smoove says, you got to icon yourself and just stand there and hold the pose for a second.
You should have your stance, kind of like the B-boy
stance. JB Smoove, I'm telling you, if you go to his Instagram, you'll see him. He icons himself. He does it on live TV.
He's awesome.
He'll be on Arsenio or something.
Your shit.
No, he'll stop what he's doing. You got to icon yourself. You know, if you look at pictures from the 1800s and stuff like that, 1800s, they icon themselves. You got to icon yourself. You know, they're always standing there. And
oh, yeah.
You know, they got like a pitchfork or a fucking musket gun or something. And they're looking
and
in the
dog.
Other direction, the horizon, or they're just dead set, not even cracking a smile. Like they can't be happy, but they're iconing
portraits.
Themselves.
Portrait.
JB Smoove's called to the icon. So that's you gotta nice. Icon yourself, people. That's right. Uh oh, something's playing. What we got, Miriam Tazi?
It's not me, is it?
You mixing stuff. You hit a button. That's okay, people. Anything. That's what's up. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. This show isn't always perfect. You know that by now. The audio, we got all sorts of issues and computer gadgets laying around.
Yeah, but that just like literally turned itself on by itself.
That was a quick sound bite of Michael Jackson. We'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the fist bumps, the high fives, even though I don't like doing high fives, but I give them back every blue moon, the high fives on the podcast. And the feedback. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your Facebook posts. And thank you for being a listener. So, thank you.
Lots of thanks.
Lots of thanks going on. Got to be thankful.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Been doing this for a minute.
Yeah,
I've had a couple of people come up. I had a friend, a colleague of mine, friend also. Alonzo came up to me the other day. He just came out of the blue and was like, "Yo, man, I was crying laughing about the lunges in the gym."
See, it's not only me that finds that hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. The lunges in the gym. Had them in stitches.
Disturbing.
And for those of you tuning in that may have missed that episode back in the day, a lot of the older gentlemen in the gym like to walk around butt naked. in the gym and put talc on and do lunges. So they're standing there with their leg up in the air, like on the counter, of course, where you, you know, might be brushing your teeth or, you know, washing your hands, and their foot is up there and they're lunging forward. Again, you know, it kills me, and it's still going on. I walked in the other day in the gym. Fuck, I wasn't even going to get into this. I thought about getting into this, but I was going to scrap it. I wasn't even going to talk about it. You know, I've been working out a little bit more or a lot more lately. And, yeah, going in, I mean, God, they're just having conversations. You know, how's business, you know?
So
how's business? Business is motherfucking putting your clothes on. That's what business
then
is.
Then we can talk business.
Yeah. These two old dudes, man, they had to have been, you know, maybe 69-ish, 60. What type of business are they?
Aren't they retired?
That's what I'm talking about. They might not be. They're probably like, you know, early 60s or something like that. Mm-hmm. But big ups to them because they're working out. But yet they're talking about shit stark naked. Just butt naked, dicks hanging and swinging. One of them had a fucking hammer. I looked and I was like, Jesus, man, put that thing. Like, and I don't like to look at men, but I was coming out of the damn shower. The motherfucker's like, how's business? I look up because I hear business, and this motherfucker's got a fucking hammer hanging down there. I was like, Jesus, man, you got to put that thing away. And then the other dude was talking business back, and he turned around and had a hammer. And I was like, Jesus, this generation is gifted. A lot of hammers swinging in the gym. I was like, you big dick motherfuckers, put your clothes on. I'm not lying, man.
Yeah, but see, I'm like less surprised that men that are well endowed will like to walk around and parade, you know.
No, the motherfuckers that ain't well endowed don't want to parade.
Yeah, maybe, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
maybe
guys,
that's my problem. Oh. The secret's out.
But I just, you know, that's my thing. Whenever you mentioned it, I was like, yeah, it's just like when guys kind of break each other's balls, literally, when they're talking and giving each other a hard time. It's kind of like, you know, whose dick is bigger.
These motherfuckers.
So they do it, like, literally in the gym. Like, my dick is, yeah, you can see it. It's bigger than yours. So right. I'm going to talk
over
you.
Do you see
that
microphone
here
in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, that's not even close. Do you see that lamp right behind you? These are white dudes.
That's white, actually going to be my next question.
White old men with silver hair. You know what I mean?
Well,
doing it big in a lot of ways, people. Well, but yeah, I kept it moving. I kept it moving. You know, it caught my attention for a minute, and I was like, Jesus, man. I mean, the business is wiping your ass and fucking putting your clothes on and then talking. But that's what happens in my gym, people. I don't get it.
But you still keep going there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like that in all gyms, isn't it?
No.
Just that particular?
No, no, no. I used to work in a gym in Tyson's, and, well, I don't know. I used to work in a gym in Tyson's, and there were more younger dudes, chiseled. It was during the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. More metrosexual.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But they liked to talk to you, like come up and close. Didn't even know you. Oh, bizarre, I thought. A lot of bromancing going on. A lot of bromancing going on in that gym. I'll leave it at that.
That's weird.
You know. You guys are lucky I'm not on the stream. You know.
I got it.
You got that?
Okay. Yep.
You can describe to the audience what I'm
no,
doing.
No, I'm not
wish,
going to.
I was doing a lot of hand gestures, people. You know, yeah. Just a lot of politically incorrect stuff, which I might lose a listener. Maybe a half a listener. I don't know. Maybe none. What am I talking about?
Nothing. Nothing.
Look at
all.
Mary with that. She's scared. She's scared to podcast about certain subjects, people. But fuck it.
I don't like to offend anybody.
I'll offend them all. They offended me at some point in time.
I have been offended many a time.
I think I offended you recently.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, usually when you bring up sexist comments, I do.
What, me?
I think you feel like...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you always...
How dare you?
I think you try to get a reaction out of me.
Do you hear that, people? She's trying to throw me under the bus.
Dude, I don't need to do anything to throw you under the bus.
What the hell's going on?
You've said stuff yourself. I don't need to say anything that they don't already know.
I ain't never, man.
So what topics did you want to cover today?
Yeah.
Besides Michael. No, because I'm just like waiting on that.
She wants to get down to the nitty gritty. Well, I was, you know, going to go into the story, spend time with my son.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I
we
mean?
Can
We've
talk
been hanging
Justin.
Out.
That's
been
fine.
Hanging out with my godson Billy for a couple of weekends and you know, having a good time with the, you know, with the children. So, you know, I'm a man of the people. Just it's despite on how you with... portray me to be as sexist.
Oh.
You know what I mean? On air, on the internet for the world to listen to. I'm a family man.
Getting
you know what
a reaction
I mean?
Out
I'm
of
a
you.
Businessman who wears clothes and talks.
That's
business.
Good.
You know what I mean?
I admire that.
You know what I mean? I like to wear clothes when I talk business. I also like to,
that
you know, put on a pair of pants and shine my shoes, you know. Shine two pair of shoes. Took me over an hour. I shined both of them. I told you about it offline.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
It took you an hour?
You saw my brown shoes today?
I did.
The motherfucker's a mirror.
They are pretty shiny.
Just shining.
They look good.
Yeah. I've had those shoes for about 2 or 3 years. Yeah, that's what you got. It does.
You didn't wear them very much.
You heard of people.
Much.
Broken English. Oh. That's what you does. I realize I said that. So anyone listening, you just tuning in. Don't think this motherfucker's an idiot. No, so I shined my shoes the other day. I was going out. I've been doing a lot of sales calls since I've been, again, another reemergence into the wine business. One more time for your motherfucking mind. One more time for your motherfucking mind.
Weirdo.
So I shine my shoes thinking, yeah, I mean, you know, you just got to look a certain way, I think. It makes me feel good. You know what I mean?
I know.
To have a shiny shoe, you know?
You like to, yeah, insist on that. No, you have to look good.
I like shoes.
I know you do. I like
shoes,
too. I like Puma's the best.
I like Puma. Yeah, MC Shan used to wear Pumas, you know? Okay. I was always more of an Adidas man. But I did have Pumas. I had the suede ones back in the day.
There's a Puma man, or an Adidas man as well.
So.
Never. It's okay.
Yeah, the shine shoes is a must. Go out there, you know, hit the streets and try to do it. I don't even know where I was going with that. Why was I even talking about shine shoes? Help me out. I went blank.
Because you were talking about going back into sales and looking good while you're in sales.
You got to. You have to. I think you have. Just in general, I think people, you need to. I mean, no, you got to dress up. It's spring. You know what I mean? The birds are out. They're chirping. Grass, green. And motherfuckers, it's flip-flop season again.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. When we were talking about that, I was like, yeah, if some guy came in and had flip-flops and tried to sell me some wine, I don't think I would take him that seriously.
It ain't going
to
work.
He was wearing flip-flops and shorts. But it gets so hot here.
Although the other way around, if a guy comes in and he wants to buy wine, he's wearing flip-flops. I don't judge that way.
No,
but I just think you should be presentable when you do go out. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I will wear you know, sneakers with a sports blazer or something like that. But you know, sometimes I'll catch it. Like today, debating on if I'm going to shave or not and hit the streets. But I have a meeting tomorrow, which I will shave for. So, but you know, the shoes you got. Shoes is a must, I think. Learn to shine shoes early in life. My old man used to make me.
Me too. I was
make
just thinking
me
about that.
Shine shoes. His shoes.
Yeah.
Hot, sweaty.
I had
you know
a lot
I mean?
Of shoes to shine.
Let me tell you this. I shouldn't even. My old man used to come home from work or wherever he was at. The club, the bar, where, who knows? You know, he was like Don Draper. You know what I mean? This motherfucker would just show up late at night. And you have to unlace his shoes and take them off. And he wanted his shoes taken off a certain way. Okay, you had to unlace them first, loosen them up. You didn't just take them off. You know, as a child, you know how you take your shoes off? You put your foot on the heel and you flip, and you, if it doesn't come off all the way, you kick them off really, really hard. You know, and when you put them back on, you do it the same way. You shove your foot in there and you wiggle it violently left to right. I see my son do this now, and I panic because the shoes that I purchased by him
break.
Are $150.
Yeah.
His tennis shoes cost twice as much as mine. Yeah. And this motherfucker is going to be wiggling left and right and jiggling to put his damn... No, man, you know?
That's true.
You got to get a shoehorn. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get a shoehorn.
Yeah, I don't know if kids know about shoehorns.
You know, I taught him. But he still does. I saw him do it yesterday. I was picking him up. And he was putting his shoes on in the garage. And I just kind of looked straight ahead. I was looking at him. Then I decided to just turn a blind eye and look straight ahead like I didn't see it because I was going to get pissed. So I said, you know what? I'm going to save this one. Sometimes you gotta, you know, pick and choose your battles, especially with children.
Yeah.
Because they try. But yeah, my old man would come and you like, get, oh, you gotta unloosen it. Unloosen the damn shoe. And pull it from the bottom. You gotta pull it from the bottom.
But don't pull from the heel. Like, you know, like the, you have to hold on to the heel part.
Yeah,
you know,
just pull. Yeah, I've done it.
I know.
And then you would make a shine them. Yeah. You know, and it, you have to shine it a certain way and then buff it, you know, put the
oh my frickin' God. All the tools, the little cans.
The fuck is
the
this?
Different brush for
shit.
The different, you know, color.
You're
oh my
killing
God, you can't
me.
Mix them. If you mix them, you ruin it.
Yeah.
The shoe shine like the rag, too. It's not a rag. It's
I'd
a nice...
like to go out right now and hit the streets and just go to the mall and ask how many kids know how to shine a shoe.
Nobody does.
I bet you they don't know how to shine a
Nobody
shoe.
Nobody does.
Because all of them are wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, and sneakers.
I mean, I don't even know when flip-flops have become involved.
Standard.
It's just, you know, that's like the beach.
Yeah, and there's no beach
and it's
that
just,
close here.
They got bedazzled flip-flops, which I don't mind the girls wearing. I've said, I've gone on record, said, you know, they can get a pass. They get their little toes done up and stuff like that. Still not a fan of the toe ring and toe jewelry. Sometimes I'll let it give it a pass, but it really puts a lot of emphasis on the toe. You know what I mean? Especially if they have like a skinny long one or something. It looks kind of weird with a knuckle.
The second one.
Yeah, not a... It's just... I don't know if I'm a fan of that style, but you still, because, you know, they're women.
So particular.
You know, you could, but then if the emphasis is on there and, you know, the bitch has a long ass toenail, something sharp, like sometimes they'll have like sharp ones. I don't like that, man. It kind of grosses me out.
Well, now it's like.
Looks like they're going to climb a wall. I don't like that. You know what I mean?
But now on hands, they have like the pointy.
I've seen it on foots. You know what I mean? It's weird. Vampire-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Weird. A little bizarre. What are you going to do with that?
Some
huh?
of them have been pretty cute and funky, but I can't go all
sharp
like that.
No, you can't have sharp. No. You know what I mean? But the dudes. I've seen dudes rock flip-flops and nice pair of pants, nice shirt. Everything looks good. Motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Hammer toe all hanging out. You know what I mean? Dry rotted. You know what I mean? Gray toe. Just not good. Not a good look. I think Virginia's the capital of flip-flop. It's a haven.
Arlington especially.
Yeah, it's a haven. It's lazy. It's laziness. And moving right along. Because I'm tired of talking about foots.
It really bothers you. I know.
I don't like it.
I know.
I don't like it. So, that's why I spent an hour shining my shoes. And, you know, I'm old school.
Okay.
Comes a certain. All I need now is an attaché case. Got to get an attaché case because I was out peddling wine the other day. You know, when you're out peddling wine, you got to get in the summertime. You got to get ice, and you got to have a cooler in your car. And you know, if you got your papers and all your stuff in a bag or something, well, some of the ice melted or something, and when I was pulling it out, I guess I forgot that I had like a bag of ice in my. Bag that I carry the wine that I had some papers in, and then it leaked over all my folders, and it was a mess.
Oh, that's annoying.
It was a mess.
Well,
so I get an attaché case now. I'm gonna be like my grandfather. My motherfucker went on vacation with the attaché case.
You might have called that shikara.
Yeah, is that what is it?
Shikara.
What does that mean?
That's attaché. It's his shikara, Ghibli shikara, and babush. It was always like, bring me my shikara. Like he'd be
Who?
Sitting, my dad.
And that's Arabic?
Yes.
All right,
and it was just like,
I have no idea what language is. So you always switch them up.
Well, this is my dad, so it's Arabic. But yeah, he'd always bring me my shikara and shine my shoes. You know what I mean? It's like a thing. That's old school too, man. Attaché.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
I remember those days. But yeah, but you want like a briefcase more than an attaché.
Gotta have it.
You want the whole
like
click.
Yeah.
You want the sound.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know?
You want the Samsonite, you know?
You want to that you roll for the numbers too?
Like people walk around today. People walk around today, you know what I mean? All these hipsters, you know, and some of these you know, some of these artistic motherfuckers, you know, they're walking around with their Gucci or their Louis Vuitton bags.
People have
and
more
stuff.
Like.
And they, oh, yeah, yeah, the yeah they got the Chewbacca bags. You know what I mean?
Chewbacca bag. Oh, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Merce or something, like what Chewie wore in Star Wars.
Like
you know what
shoulder.
I mean? You're hip.
Yeah.
You're hip. We get it. Okay? We get it. And then they have the Converse with no shoestrings in them. All right. We get it, motherfucker. You're not going to get robbed or attacked. You're not going to get jumped. Nothing's going to happen. Fucking Godzilla's not going to bust out, and you're going to have to run, and then you're fucked. All right? You know what I mean? A volcano might erupt, you know? And then where are you at? You know, you got a cool-ass bag and no shoestrings. But I got to admit that, you know, in the 80s, I wore my Adidas with no shoestrings. No shoestrings in them. I did not win them. I bought them off the Ave with the Black Lee's denim. That's how I did it. I did do that for a little while until one fateful night we was out chilling. We was chilling.
Oh.
I mean, I had my box. I had like a big boom box, you know, the big, as some people call a ghetto blaster. I had that, and we'd go to the parties, go to the girls' houses, and some fellas there didn't appreciate us hitting on their women, and their women were hitting on us, and it was about 40 might be high, but it was about 20 something of them, a fraternity, and chased us, and I lost a shoe in the
mud
because I didn't have shoestrings. I was running as fast as I could, but it wasn't really a run. It was more of a sweep. It was a skip almost, because if you try to run with no shoestrings, you know what I mean, trying to be cool,
make you trip kind of.
But you can run faster if you skip. You know, you're like. So it wasn't a run. It was literally you were sweeping across the pavement. Is excuse the term, but I have to say I probably look pretty damn gay in an Adidas jumpsuit and an Adidas shoes with no shoestrings. If I was sweeping, you know what I mean, to get away, and I was pretty fast.
You
was skipping, a shuffle. Maybe it's a shuffle. It's fucked up. This is true. This is the God's honest truth. And then we jumped a fence. It was a kind of a railroad marsh area, and my shoe sunk in there, and that was it. Brand new. Yeah, fell right off, sucked right in. I've lost a lot. So
funny.
From that point on,
I'll teach you to hit on neighborhood girls that are not from your
neighborhood. Well, we're just there, you know what I mean? We just posted up in a b-boy stance. You know, oh, I do it, people. You knew a player like me, you know?
All right. Relax, man. Jeez.
You know, even a young, you know, 16-year-old Malcolm Ritter was doing it big.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. I was like 120 pounds with the same size head as I have now. Jesus. What happened? It's terrible, man. I was like 136.
I was going to say you're really tiny.
I was petite. I was a tiny guy. It's true. It's true. I ain't lying, people. I never lie. Uh-oh.
No. I like the no.
What do you want me to do? I ain't never lied to you, people.
No.
I'm giving you pearls, you know? I'm teaching you how to dress in case the shit goes down.
If you wanna be rich.
Well, Godzilla is coming out, so you know.
That's right.
Or is it out already?
No, it comes out. Either Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
Today's Thursday.
Oh, so
more or less.
Well,
by the time you listeners listen to this, it'll be Friday. So there you go. So it comes out this weekend. That should be pretty good. That should be good.
I hope so.
Uh-oh. What am I supposed to do? Not let that play? Where would you guys be without me?
If you want to be rich, you got to be a bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I don't know if that's true. I hope it's bitch. Not. But I think I know it is. Or you will be bitch. Called a bitch if you want to be rich.
You
successful.
Bitch.
That's the shit. Anyway, so yeah, that's what's up, man. I went all over the place. Went from shoes to, you know, no shoestrings in them. But that's it. That's it, really. Just A lot's been going on. I got Adam Carolla coming in next week.
That's already coming up.
Yeah, he'll be here. I'll be with him Wednesday. We've got a book signing, wine signing, bottle signing. He'll be in town. And then...
Where and when?
And then we have a stand-up show.
Ooh.
Down in Richmond. So Wednesday, if you guys are listening, Wednesday at Total Wines in McLean, VA, at 3 p.m., Adam Carolla will be signing bottles of Mangria.
Or cases.
Yeah, that's right. Or cases. Get some cases. Make great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of good stuff.
Summer drink.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. And the book signing is somewhere in D.C. before that. Sometime in the afternoon, I'm not sure. I don't have that information yet. Somewhere in D.C. because he just released his book, President Me. It's kind of the world as he sees it if he was president. So I haven't read it yet, but... I hear a lot of great things. And then later on that night, 7 p.m. in Richmond, VA, is the stand-up show. So if you Google, just go to adamcarolla.com. It'll be a list of events there. You can see if you want to attend. But come on out. Come on out to the Total Wine signing. I'll be there. If you want my signature on a bottle, I'll sign it too for you. You know what I mean? Let's see if that happens. But don't too many of you people. I can't show up the showman. You know what I mean? Look bad on my image.
It's about Adam.
Yeah. It's about him and Mangria.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing. That's the only thing. That's what I've been selling. I've been out there going door to door selling Mangria, having some fun at it. Feel good, actually. It felt better than I've felt in a long time selling something.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not bad because, I mean, the fact is I have access to, you know, I mean, it's not like I can call and say, hey, you know, I need $5,000 for, you know, budget for marketing material or whatever. But, you know, if I ask for something, logos, if I need images, if I need sample bottles, mm-hmm. You know, if I just need an answer, a yes or no, you know, they're very fast. The you know, Adam has put together a very centralized, focused group that is quick on the responses and
that's
very
key
supportive.
To success.
And if you guys, any of you guys have been listening to this podcast, guys or gals, have been listening to the podcast since I started it, you know, it started, you know, over a year ago, you know, when I went out to L.A., to do a fundraiser for the Concern Foundation, and I featured Adam Carolla's wines, and they mm-hmm. supplied everything for me, made it very easy. And they've been doing the same thing here. When you do stuff like that, it motivates you.
Yep.
All right. It motivates you. It's because you're working with you're working with doers.
Yep.
And God knows you've heard me complain about this for probably years, but for this story, for the past few weeks.
For this story. Okay.
Yeah, long time. I mean, is it the wine business is not that hard. You work in the wine business. You've been in the wine business for quite some time. It isn't that hard. You get the product, right?
Yep.
Right? You either put it on the shelf or you put it in a bag and you go out and sell it, right?
Well, when you have the same goal, which is to move wine, yes.
So how hard is it? So I work with some other individuals and who I like a lot. I have a lot of respect for. They're friends and work, you know, colleagues, but at the same time, I don't think that they want to move wine. I think they're with an organization that is focused on something else. And a lot of times in life, you can get sidetracked, or you just have different priorities.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'd rather for somebody just to say to me, I would rather for someone to say to me, just no, this is impossible right now, than to string me along.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
No,
and say, okay, we can get this. We can do this. We plan on doing this. In 3 weeks, we're going to have a meeting on this. In a week after that, we're going to have a meeting on this. Or in 17 weeks, we're going to have a meeting. I don't have time for that. Yeah. Either it's ready or it's not. Same thing with Mangria and Adam Carolla. I mean, since the event that I did last summer, I've been in constant contact with them, you know, on a monthly basis about, you know, updates about availability, when it's going to be registered in Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. And they would always respond.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Right now it's uncertain, but we'll keep you posted. You know, I would send messages just to stay in contact, to keep that relationship going. Finally, it hit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And everything, ever since then, every day, you know, we're talking. Every single day, you know. And every day I'm out there in the streets. Yeah. I got two freaking bottles of wine. I don't have a portfolio. And a portfolio consists of, some of you people listening right now, portfolio consists, it could consist of hundreds of bottles of wine, different wineries from around the world, regions, different varietals, the whole nine. So, and you have more of an arsenal when you go out there. So you got more tricks up your sleeve. You can offer your clients many options. You know, you can go into the store or restaurant, look at their wine list, break it down, see what they're strong on, see what they're weak on, or see what they don't have. I'm going out there with two bottles of wine, and I'm selling.
Yep.
Every day I go out there, I'm selling. Two. Two.
Yeah.
And all I'm asking.
That goes to show your relationship with your customers and your.
Even new ones, though. I'm getting new clients.
Yeah.
I'm talking fast because, I mean, Mangria
is. You're good at what you do.
Mangria, I am. but Mangria itself is not your traditional style of wine. It's to get to the point. You know, it's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's get to the point. What we want to do is drink something nice and get drunk. And that's the point of Mangria. You know what I mean? It's simple. It's basic mathematics. Yeah. Really basic stuff. And any of my, it's been, I guess it's been, I guess I've had mixed, I've been sending mixed signals. People in the industry think that it's personal. It's a personal thing that I have against some of the people that I've been working with. But it isn't personal. It's business. It's all about execution. Either you want to execute or you don't. Either you want to sell or you don't.
Yeah.
Either you want your product in the D.C., Virginia market or you don't.
Yeah.
Same thing with working with me. If you, I've built those brands, I'm familiar with those brands. People in this area know me for building those brands. I have a relationship with those people.
Yep.
Therefore, if you give me the ball, what's going to happen? You either it'll sell.
Yeah.
So either you want that or you don't. And see, that's the part that pisses me off. Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, it's like I told them. I was like, you know, sometimes some things aren't meant to be. I don't take it personal, you know. I'll still be your friend. I'll still, you know, be cool with you. But, you know. Yeah,
but it's not about friendship. That's not the point. And there's a business relationship there, but it's also.
And I'm all about
stuff
business.
Happen. Yeah, but it's just making stuff happen, you know, being in contact. And like you said, just not making false promises.
Yeah, expectations. I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
People just don't have the same. Work ethic.
Or they do, but they just, they just may not be hungry. They may not just be hungry for it, too. You know? I don't know. You know?
I'm not sure.
It's just, I can't be with an organization that blows smoke up my ass, you know? Or I can't be with you know, it's just like I was telling, Nimrod when he was in, Nimrod Kovacs, he's the owner of, K&W Wines out of Hungary, And we were talking and, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, everyone gives you these false hopes and they give you these, organizations have a way of saying, okay, look, well, these are the plans we have down in the future. This is what we're planning on doing. This is where we want to go with it.
But
you know,
where are you now?
That's
where
right. That's right. I'm at a point in my life where it's now it's do or die. Let's get this thing going. All right. And I told him, I was like, how many companies have you been with? You know, Nimrod is, you know, in his 60s. How many companies have you been with that they sell you on? Oh, we're a family. We're a family. This is a family. This is family. I was like, are they really? Have they ever been? And he's like, no, that's just bullshit that they sell you. I was like, that's my point. I don't want to be bullshitted.
Yeah.
Don't sell me that shit. You know what I mean? Maybe if I was 20, I might believe stuff like that. Yeah. It could be any organization. It could be some of the jobs that I'm working at right now. I don't believe in that. All right. I'm not in this for your glory. I'm in it for the money. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that simple. I'm in this for the honey. You know, I'm in this, you know, of course I like to have a relationship and I like to enjoy the people I work with and all that shit. But come on, man. You know? Huh?
I mean, I agree. It's about, you're there to work, you know? So let's get the work done.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's do what we're here to do and be professional about it. Yeah. And part of being professional is being upfront, honest, and truthful about, you know, what you can and can't do. If you can't do something, say you can't do it, and then we'll work together and find a way to do it. And if we can't do it together, we'll find someone else, bring someone else in, and then go from there. That's, you know, that's just building. Yeah. You know what I mean? Fuck all the tickets and, you know, comps and, you know, baseball games and, you know, I don't need all that shit.
Different priorities. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even need that.
If you want, you could get it for yourself. That's not the point.
Oh, I don't even get fucking worked up. I'm starting to sweat now, man. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, either you want to do it or you don't. Two bottles of wine. That's my arsenal. I'm like Billy the Kid. I got a gun in my left and a gun in my right. And both of them say Mangria. And I'm just going out there and I'm shooting from the hip.
Yep.
I'm going out there today and I'm grinding it out. You know what I mean? At 10 o'clock at night, you know, when I get back home, I'm grinding it out. And I'm plotting and planning for the next day. And you know, so on through the weekend. I mean, it's when you just got two, when you got less, you got to work like 10 times as hard.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if you're in the streets banging it out. But, I mean, that's life, too.
But sometimes it's good to have. I was just talking about this earlier. Like, sometimes it's harder when there's too many options, you know? So at least your focus is focused, which is good. You can focus on those two wines and people who want to get stuff done and move forward.
Pisses me off, man. I'm pissed right now.
No reason to be pissed.
I'm fucking pissed. I'm sweating. I'm hot. I'm overheating right now. Jesus. Yeah. It's the frustration. You know what I mean? It's always an excuse.
It doesn't have to be this difficult. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You work with people and they always got an excuse.
But there's always obstacles. You know what I mean? And it's how you handle those obstacles that shows, you know, your character. So you can't let them stop you. You can still have them in your arsenal, but it's their loss if they don't move wine. They're losing money by not moving forward with you.
It's just so simple, though. I mean, why does it have to be so difficult?
Because of people. Some people make it difficult. People,
you know, why does it have to be so difficult? And, you know, if it's people that are out there and they're selling or everyone, people listening, you probably work with somebody or some people that are just not doing it. You know what I mean? They're just in the way. They're just there taking up space. You know, does it have to be this difficult?
No.
You know?
No.
So many times we turn a blind eye or we just...
Sometimes you have to, but when you speak up, you know, you're difficult or a bitch, you know, or whatever. So it's very, you have to balance it, you know, but you can't let it get to you. You can just, don't let it distract you from your focus.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, yeah, I speak up all the time and I'm sure, I mean, I know, and I know I can, I've said this before, I know I can be difficult, but the stuff that I'm presenting is growth. You know what I mean?
I know.
If someone isn't selling into, and if someone isn't doing something and I know, and it's proven I can do it, you know what I mean? Better, then, you know, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's give me the ball and let's fucking, either you want to do it or you don't. You know what I mean? It's just, it's that simple. It's not, you know, this isn't, it's not that hard to figure out. But the wine business is funny like that. You know, it could be internal. It could be as small as an organization trying to figure out, you know, where their ass is.
There's a lot of strong personalities in the wine business.
Yeah, it could be as an organization trying to figure out, you know, where their ass is, or it could be dealing with Virginia ABC and their laws, or it could, not just Virginia, it could be anywhere in the
like
U.S.
The state law, federal
yeah, some
law.
Of these laws have been, you know, in existence for, you know, a century, and, you know, I don't know what direction they want to go in. But again, people, the wine business itself isn't all glitz and glam. So when you guys are seeing the wine and dining and the tuxedos.
We're supposed
to
make it look good, right?
And the gowns and all that shit. There's a lot of fucking work and stress that goes into getting those events off.
Yeah. We make it look easy. That means you're doing a good job.
Oh, man. People come to me all the time and they're just like, you must have a wine collection and drink wine. You know what I mean? Just give me some water at the end of the day. Yeah. You know what I'm giving? Give me a cold beer or something.
I want Matt to stand on this whole time instead of like in your nice shiny shoes. But goddamn, they hurt to stand up in for hours.
I did an event.
Like the concrete.
I did an event the other day.
Oh God, your back, your knees. Just like really?
Yeah. I did an event the other day at a store, and it was concrete floor. Oof. And the first thing, it was three or four tables. With other representatives there showing their wines. First thing, one of them walked over to me. Oh, Jesus, man, my back is killing me. Yeah, I mean, it didn't hurt that, you know, I mean, I'm sure it didn't help him that, you know, he had a stomach like St. Nicholas, you know what I mean, weighing him over. But at the same time, you know, to his point, yeah, you've got to, like the shoes I have, they're dress shoes, but inside it's like a tennis shoe.
Oh, good. That's really key.
When I do shine them up, it looks even more dressier. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's they're cushioned. And I've got the the really nice, expensive Italian shoes, and stuff like that. But that's if I just do like a gala. Is a gala or a gala?
Depends on the person, I think.
It's like homage and homage, like Rick Marrero says.
I don't think you say homage, though. I think you just say homage.
We had this discussion on the last, the Smalls Family podcast we did. Yeah. He pointed out that David said homage. And he didn't say homage. Homage.
Homage.
Homage. Right? That's like tomato, tomato. But is it gala or gala?
I've heard it both ways, I'll be honest.
Gala.
Gala.
Gala. Which one is it? Sabotage. Sabotage? I didn't say sabotage. I said sabotage. You said sabotage. That's to quote James Tiberius Kirk. It's a joke. Google it. YouTube sabotage. Captain Kirk, and you guys will get the joke. I don't know, but when you do these galas, even a gala,
just say gala because you're comfortable with gala.
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 I think I like gala.
I think I like gala better too. But
even when you do an event, it's going to be 3 hours. So anything you do is going to be 3 hours. But let's say if you go to an office meeting, okay, a meeting or something like that, they're an hour long or something, or you're sitting, then you wear the dress shoes with the wood sole or something like that. Then you pop a little bit more, you know, you're in and out. But when you're doing,
think about it though.
When you're doing these stand up, I guess it's like women with high heels, super high heels. Yeah. You have to be a little bit more cautious on, you know when and where you wear them. I guess. Yeah. I've never wore high heels, but...
you would think, yes.
I would think so, mm-hmm. You know, just because it wouldn't be practical.
Oh.
I mean, you know, maybe a 2-inch heel or something, a 3-inch, I don't know. You don't want to wear stilettos. And I've seen it done. I've seen some women do it. You know, I don't mind it, you know, but...
Of course you don't.
I don't mind it at all, but...
Yeah, but it's not good.
Better than flip-flops.
Well, that's not safe either, though, with bottles of wine and shit. No.
So there it is. I've been rambling on enough about this stuff. Let's get down to something fun.
Oh.
Huh?
MJ?
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's right. You know, Michael Jackson. I know, right? Man, I've been having some problems lately on a podcast with getting my words.
I think your mind is going too fast. So many things.
And there's a lot of crackle too. Sometimes I've noticed when I go through and I gotta make sure the volume, because I don't have a crew to edit or to, and I don't really edit the podcast, but sometimes I gotta make sure the levels, so I have to re-listen to the shit, and I'll hear a lot of this. It's like, what's wrong with me? Should I splice that and then bring it together so it's not a pause? Yeah. You know, it's like a Kennedy. You know what I mean? A Kennedy's era. Let me just tell you. That's a bad Kennedy impersonation. Era. At this day, era. You know, and it's just like... It's the worst. Yeah. So, Miriam.
I think you exaggerate. Like, you're...
it's no different than saying I remember doing that the first 4 or 5 podcasts because I was just not used to being on the microphone and hearing my voice. I just wasn't used to it. So yeah. I remember I was, and people even criticized me. But And a lot of people
it's
say
like
that.
Public speaking, it's difficult. You don't know your habits.
I flow now quite a bit, but sometimes I'll catch myself in
your stance.
Okay. Miriam has a album she'd like to talk about, and it's yeah. I think you guys get the joke.
It's Michael Jackson's new album. Well,
so MJ is back. You know what I mean?
Yes, you know? Sort of.
I like it.
I had to buy it. I mean, I was excited and looking forward to it, but you know, I have mixed feelings about it as well, just because you know it's stuff that he didn't release, so he didn't really want the public necessarily to hear it. He didn't feel like he was a perfectionist, so he didn't feel like, you know, it was ready. And there is a lot of, some of them are pretty, you can tell that they're not finished and it's kind of on a loop, you know, it's kind of repetitious, but there's still some great beats. And I still am very happy that I purchased it, and I'm definitely going to be listening to it over and over again, and every time I hear it, it's getting better. But I'm also a huge fan, so I think I have a biased opinion, you know? I'm always going to like anything that
he releases. Well, he's missed. I mean,
so missed, but it's also bringing up, you know, sad at the same time to hear it, because it's him, but it's he's not really back, you know, but his voice is, and
yeah,
it's just... It's weird. It's kind of I don't know. It's kind of strange.
Well, I've said this before. That, you know, it's a very silent world without Michael Jackson.
There is definitely hole that won't be able to be filled, I don't think. JT might think he's trying to do that, but he doesn't have the same heart. So, I don't know.
Well, and what's the name of the album?
So, the album
Escape,
is...
Right?
Escape, yeah. Escape.
X.
Yeah. Escape.
Let's hear a little something.
Well, which song do you want to hear first?
You just play one. Just set it up.
We'll do that Escape first then, just because that's the name of the album. Do you want the original?
No, play the one I like, the one I heard. Come on, let's just...
There you go. Escape.
I like it. It's funky. Where I turn, no matter where I look, the system's in control, is all ran by the book. I got to get away so I can free my mind. Escape is what I need from the electric guys. No matter where I am, I see my face around. I like it.
So that
what'd you stop it for?
Well, I'm just because there's
you can
more
play in the background.
If you want to lower it?
I don't just let me the produce this, okay?
Yeah. I like it. I can't.
You have
I
mixed
mean,
feelings about it, though. Huh?
It makes me sad, actually, to hear it. Actually, it's like I was saying before we were on the air. Just reminds you of what you're missing out on. You know. Kind of like when I was going to go back. You guys know my mom came into town a little while ago, so it was just having her here makes me realize what I'm missing out on when she's not here.
He's missed, but you know, so. we should still celebrate. Celebrate him as an artist, just because. Like I said, I mean, it seems to be a much more silent world, and when Michael was here, he was the lightning rod of attention for tabloids and news magazines.
I mean, he's still
and celebrity
being
magazines.
He's still being attacked.
Stuff like that. So he's you know, I mean, he's missed on all different levels, but I think it's just as he, what his contributions to humanity and to the music industry, that's what's missed, and that's that void that's missing. And that, you know, when I listen to songs like this one, they sound so different than the songs of today, all the electronic stuff, and where everything sounds like a carbon copy of a carbon copy.
Yeah, we were saying this is more melodic.
Yeah. So yeah, it's something that it's definitely you kind of miss, because you would want him to have his input and influence on new material, but he doesn't have that anymore because, you know, he's not here. Yep. So what do we have next?
Next one is the other one. This is the one that you really like, A Place with No Name.
Ooh.
Across on the highway, my Jeep began to rock. I didn't know what to do, so I stopped and got out and looked down. I noticed I got a flat, so I walked out, parked the car like sideways, so I can find what I can fix. I looked around, there were no cars on the highway. I felt a strange feeling like a mist.
I could let that play.
So good.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
The lyrics itself.
Yeah.
When you're listening to the lyrics. We're not talking about, again, product placements. We're not talking about, getting in.
His car broke down. You know, he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he's having a day. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's creative. And it's painting a picture. It's not painting a picture of getting in someone's pants. You know what I mean? Sexing it. It's everything now is very graphic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's shocking. It's always shock value.
Yeah. Shock value. Loud. Not balanced. This is very. It has a very elegant, soothing style to it, where you're engaged with every part of the. Of the music composition. It's a fascinating listen when you compare it to what's being played today. Mm-hmm. And then you really miss Michael Jackson. Then you really miss those the elements and everything that made up him as an artist. There are flashes of that. I've said it before. There's flashes of that with Usher and Pharrell and Justin Timberlake. But even them, even they, by contract or just by the public demand, have to in some way keep up with the sound of today to some greater or lesser degree. I think Pharrell does a fabulous job. Of taking himself and taking a little bit more risks and creating his own sound.
Well, he's worked with a lot of people. That's kind of how he started almost. It's like always with other people, and now he's got his own thing going. But yeah, he did it differently, you know, and he did it, and he followed the right path, I think. He really worked hard for it, too.
And it's paying off.
It really is, yeah. Finally. But he worked for a long time
He has a swag on that is reminiscent of Michael Jackson and a Marvin Gaye to me.
I remember when you said that. It made me think twice.
He does. I can see why people would may or may not agree with that, but I think the best is yet to come from him. I mean, he's definitely hitting home runs, but I believe...
I agree. I think he's just beginning.
Yeah,
really.
I think there's a lot in this.
Because now he can really
man.
Do his own stuff, because now he's made a name for himself.
Yeah.
So now he's really going to be... He's more confident in his own... Like,
and he seems like a beautiful man. Like, he seems like very genuine.
I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, I saw him on this interview with Oprah, but I did. I saw some video. I saw it, I think, on Facebook or something. And there was videos of people all around the world, you know, dancing to his song and making like a video of him or making videos of themselves dancing to his song, happy. And he was totally crying. Like, Oprah showed it to him, and he was totally crying the whole time. He was just like, I don't know why I'm crying for this. But she was like, it's beautiful. You know, it's completely international. You know, it's just ultimate love. You know what I mean? Universal love, which is kind of amazing. So
yeah.
I think it really touched him, and it's really hitting him, the power, the impact of that. So it was beautiful.
Zero airplay, nothing.
Oh.
And the next thing you know,
yeah,
we put out the video on November 21st.
This is the Oprah interview.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
I mean, when I say boom,
you mean
boom.
Yeah.
And we were like, what's happening? Okay, first of all, people are putting up their own videos.
Yeah.
It was like no longer my song.
Yeah. Can we roll the tape of that? When people started putting videos around the world of themselves getting happy.
So they're going through a montage of Portugal, Taiwan. They're going through a montage of people singing happy all over the world. And Pharrell and Oprah are watching this. Philippines, Detroit, kids in the schoolyard, Ireland, London. And I'm sure you people have seen this video. If you haven't, just Google Oprah Winfrey and Pharrell and it'll pop up.
Makes me cry too. You know, I was just thinking about your grandmother. I bet she didn't even imagine that. No. Bet she didn't even imagine that. I know. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
She's like speechless.
Why am I crying on Oprah?
You know, it's being used for something that's greater than yourself. I get that.
It's overwhelming because it's like, I love what I do. And I just appreciate the fact that, like, people have believed in me for so long that I could make it to this point to feel that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I get it.
So, yeah.
It's so good.
It really is. It almost makes me tear up.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And Oprah really does get it, too. So when she says it, you're just like, yep. Respect, you know, to both of you.
It goes...
Incredible.
Yeah, and understand this, too. I mean, we're living in a time, and I've joked about it, but we're living in a very free time. And within that free time...
You do say that a lot.
I don't mean it...
Too free.
Well... Not that we need to be, you know, under martial law or anything like that, but at the same time, you have to remember where you came from, okay? Not just black people, you know, all people, and you have to respect the times when you didn't have, you know what I mean? Not just so much money, but when you didn't have the right for you and I to do a podcast together because of the differences of our race, the differences, even though you are African, but you
All right. Look, I don't mean to confuse everyone.
Like
try being
California
me.
Blonde. Weird. But the my point is, my point is you. Yeah, there are a lot of I see a lot of younger people from the younger generation where, and I've even quizzed them that they just don't know. They don't know. You know, there was a time when you couldn't go into a restaurant or you couldn't drink out of the same water fountain.
Or people easily forget. You know,
or women didn't have the right to vote. Yeah. Or women were beaten, abused, raped. You know what I mean? And everyone. I mean, our Arab brothers and sisters are going through the struggle right now, mm-hmm. all over the world. You know what I mean? People, you know, in Ireland, people are going through it. People in parts of all over Africa are going through it right now. Women are being abducted and kidnapped, and you know. So when you have this level of success, you shouldn't take it for granted. It doesn't matter if it's on an entertainment level or it could be on an educational level. Still, you have to keep your feet grounded. So when you see a young man like Pharrell, who's still, I can see within this interview, just by watching and you listening to it, it transcends.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And artists,
you can feel that he's really touched, you know? It's just genuine.
Yeah. And I think that's in the 70s and 80s, Michael Jackson embodied that. And he used his celebrityism to cross over, to penetrate places where we as African Americans, as black people, could not even dream of being a part, to be on MTV, you know what I mean? To raise millions of dollars for the hungry, you know what I mean? For people starving in other countries, the charities, everything that he did. I mean, we forgot that, you know, we'd rather look at him as a freak than look at him as the human being that he was, and everything that he embodied, and the love that he gave the world. Was he flawed? Are there questions out there? Absolutely, there's questions and unanswered, should I say unanswered questions and accusations and stuff like that. But if you look at the proof, the definitive proof of everything that man has done while he was here on Earth, you know what I mean? It outweighs any of the accusations, because the accusations were never proven. You know, this isn't no OJ thing. You know what I mean? We're talking about a man who dedicated his life to love.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Michael Jackson evolved and grew into that period of when television, radio, and the rise of the internet was the birth and was transforming, where we became bloodthirsty and we became hungry to build and destroy. You know what I mean? And he didn't have that opportunity to where you build and destroy only to see you rise again. We like, for some reason, we're hungry to witness that, to see the rise, the fall, and the rise again. And when he came, when he was trying to come out with This Is It, that was supposed to be the rise again when he was 50 years old. But at the same time, he was weathered. And, a group of producers got together. I only know a little bit about this album, but
Timbaland had a big part in it.
Yeah, Timbaland, not Magoo.
Just, yeah.
What happened to Magoo?
I don't know, but he wasn't as much of a producer as Tim.
Magoo is where? He's missing in action.
I don't know.
He jumped ship. Is he Amber Alert? Do we got to look? Is he like Casey Kasem?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I'll get on that. I'll find out.
Casey Kasem just jumped ship. He disappeared. And is Magoo with him? Is there something going on? He went to the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, you know, it's like Moni in the Middle.
I don't know.
Moni Love, Queen Latifah just disappeared. Where are these people?
I don't know.
Enough of my jokes. I was trying some bits out. Miriam laughs at my bits, people. So let's listen to another.
My one of my favorites on this. Let's go, Loving You.
Moon, where are the stars of the night? You promise me too soon, cause it's been cloudy all night. And the weatherman said, if you're not well, stay in bed. Cause I've been feeling down and blue, and it's cloudy in my head. Instead of going out to some restaurant, I stay home in bed. I'll be loving you, that's why. Thinking of you till the stars are no more. If it's cloudy or blue, I'll stay here with you. We'll make a wish and then we'll kiss our love forever true. Instead of going out to some restaurant, I'll stay here with you.
Reminiscent of Rock With You and stuff, you know, got like that
simpler
vibe.
Time.
So like,
yeah, it's so true, so genuine, so authentic, and soft, pleasant. I mean, you know, if I put any song on today, I could just pull up on iTunes the top five or whatever. You know, head banging. You know, it's just not to criticize. There's some good songs, but I mean, this just. It takes you back, but it also takes you forward and keeps you present at the same time. I mean, I don't want to say it's a lost art, but it seems to be where artists, and I think a lot of musicians have criticized today's musicians as fast tracking it and just being very, very, direct and graphic in the way they do their presentations. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this was categorized as times. Pop music, you know, and what is pop today?
Well, like I said, graphic, very. Yeah. I mean, I just saw it recently. I went to go see the movie Neighbors. And, you know, Neighbors is being hailed as the new Animal House. Neighbors being directed by Nicholas Stoller. Starring Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, and a cast of other colorful characters. But it's funny. It's about a young couple in their 30s that live in a very quiet neighborhood, and a fraternity moves next door and raises hell. Animal House is in ways, but... Very graphic. Lots of penis, boners.
Yeah, penis jokes.
Yeah. Loads.
Oh.
Loads.
Pun intended.
Yeah. It leaves nothing to the imagination. Still hilarious. Still very, very funny. But at times I did catch myself saying, you know, wow. You know what I mean?
That's pushing it far, huh?
Well, that's what it's just... I guess this is where we're at. You know what I mean?
More shock.
Yeah.
Or Shock Valley
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And not to say it's not creative. I'm a huge fan of Seth Rogen. I give it, you know, 3 solid stars, you know, out of 4. I give it a thumbs up. I wouldn't take the kids to see it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be mad if, like, you know, my son's 12. If he snuck in to see it or watched it, you know, downloaded it or something like that, you know, like we used to do, stuff like that. So, I mean, this will be speaking to their audience, them. You know what I mean? But I wonder, do we lose a piece of ourselves, piece of our innocence? But then the same thing was probably said when we were watching Animal House or any of the stuff that we grew up, Porky's or any of the stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, it was Stripes. You know what I mean? So it's generational.
Yeah.
You know, you like I said before in the last podcast, which you weren't around for.
I'm trying to make me feel bad about it. I wanted to be there.
The you know, when you get to, as you start to grow and as you start to age, you, as much as you try to stay in touch with the younger generation and the new stuff, sometimes you may lose, you know, a bit of what you're hearing and what you're seeing. So I try to keep my eyes and ears open, but at the same time, I'm not going to be open to fucking flip-flops. You know what I mean? I've seen wedding pictures and people are dressed up and they got flip-flops on.
Oh, well, it's probably just they've been dancing.
On the beach. No, no. That's part of the pictures. That's part of the gig. I'm not going to get back into that again. I'm not going to rant about, don't even try to pull me back in, Mariam Tazi.
I won't do
but,
it.
But, you know, it's sign of the times. I mean, Michael Jackson is missed in this. I believe that this album is shows you. See, there I go again.
Yeah. Looking for your words.
Shouldn't even be doing that, man. I'm gonna go to a speech class. See if
then
I can.
You're
work
gonna
on
speak
it.
All weird and.
Hello
perfect.
There. My name is Malcolm Riddle. We are here on the podcast too.
That'd be bizarre.
Oh, yes, this is the podcast, the American Riddle Podcast, brought to you today by Kellogg. And we are going to get into a couple subjects today. One of them is science, and we will explore the multi-universe. Could you imagine?
Yeah, actually. We could talk about the cosmos.
No, just talking like that. Just
No.
Yes, and today the weather will be fucked the hell up, humid and hot. My air condition has broke, and I don't know what the fuck to do. The window does not help.
Oh, no.
I didn't stutter once.
Maybe
I should talk like that. What do you think, Mariam Tazi?
I think that's too intense.
It is intense. I was trying to be funny.
It sounds fake.
Yeah.
I don't like fakeness. Do you want to hear that last song? Or you?
Oh, you got another song. What do you got?
You wanted the other one.
Let's hear it. What's it called? Set it up, Mariam Tazi.
A Slave to the Rhythm.
the man at work who works all the time. She can't be rude as she says, I must be home tonight. She dances to the kitchen stove. Dinner is served by 9. He says his food's an hour late. She must be out of her mind. She's a slave to the rhythm. She's a slave to the rhythm. She's a slave to the rhythm. A slave to the rhythm. Oh, she's a slave to the rhythm. She's a slave to the rhythm. She's a slave to the rhythm.
Yeah. I could listen to that over and over again.
We will. You know?
Yeah.
We definitely will. I already have.
Yeah.
But people are hating on it.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, what are they saying?
It's just not good.
Are there like a lot of negative reviews or something?
Kind of. There's some.
Where are you seeing this at?
I'm just looking online.
I don't subscribe to that stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm making my own opinion for sure.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that. It's just, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you can't please everyone. And again, like I said,
haters. I'm just kidding.
That and the fact that it's you know, we have become, it's like I said, when I do the parallel between film and music, it's no different. People out there really believe Man of Steel and the new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 2, are good films, and they're garbage. All right? They're going to look back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, and they won't stand up. They're going to look like some claymation bullshit, bad CGI, horrible acting, very little story content, and, you know, no staying power. Just like with some of the music today. It sounds good. Yeah, the music's good. And that's the whole point of the MC series that we've been doing on the podcast, is to show the differences between what you put into, you know, what you're putting into your craft, what you're putting into your music or your art, and then ultimately what you put in your mind, you know, and your body, what you're absorbing. And what you're absorbing is a lot of shit, but you don't recognize it because the next thing over is shit, and the next thing over beside that is shit, and beside that is some more shit. So basically, you have a lot of piles of shit to choose from. So you're picking the best pile of shit, and that's, you think that's good. But at the end of the day, shit is shit. It could be hard, or it could be runny. It could be, you know, manure. It could be all sorts of shit. But yeah, ma and new. not going back into that joke. A Seinfeld reference that Miriam seems to like that one. People,
I do like that one.
I also say people a lot, but we're not going to subscribe to, you know, the naysayers and the haters, because yeah, they're entitled to their opinion.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're entitled to listen to, you know, the music that they wish to, and you know, 20 years from now, you know, they're going to look weird dancing to some whack stuff, or, you know, they're going to look back and say, damn, that movie is kind of whack, you know, but it is what it is. So what are you going to do? So we're going to focus on the positive, right?
That's fine by me.
Right? We're going to focus on the positive. Look at Miriam, you actually miss Michael Jackson, huh? Look at her.
I can
see it in her face. Put her on Ustream. We got to take this show on and put it up so you guys can see. She's a little sad, but we're not going out on a sad note, because that's what's out, so you can download it on iTunes, if you are what is it called? Michael Jackson's Escape, right? With an X.
Yeah.
Everyone's heard of it and known it by now. I'm not giving any new news. Like, this is a new program or something. This isn't the Today Show, you know? This isn't Kimmel. This ain't the Tonight Show. Like, for a second, sometimes I really get caught up in this podcast. Like, I'm thinking, there's actually
sound really professional.
Audience,
I think,
out there that's tuning in. And finding that, oh my God, there's a Michael Jackson song out, and I need to go to iTunes, right? Listen, dipshit, Malcolm Riddle, This is not new news. This has been on the radar. There's something called the internet.
I like how you say new news. News is good enough.
Yeah, you don't need the new, do you? Is, you know, what the fuck, people? Goddamn.
New news.
So you guys get it. You know where I'm going with this. Again, I'm going to give thanks. Thanks for tuning in. You know, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part. And supporting. If you're out next week in the Northern Virginia area, come out to Total Wines at 3 p.m. Get there early and meet Adam Carolla, and also take up the fight against, what is it, patent trolls.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely we're trying to raise some money to fight that, because, you know, if they win, they may hit, you know, other podcasts that are out there, such as your favorite one, like American Riddle. You know what I mean? That is behind on the times, obviously. But that's okay, because we're here to give it to you. So thanks for tuning in, guys. And I'm going to let Mariam Tazi say...
Domino, motherfucker.
Once upon a time in the projects, yo. I damn near had to wreck a hoe. I knocked on the door.
Who is?
It's Ice Cube come to pay a little visit to you. And what's up with them niggas in the parking lot? She said, fuck them, because they get sparked a lot. I sat on the couch, but it wasn't stable. And then I put my knives on the coffee table. Her brother came in, he's in the gang banging, cause he walked up and said, what's that you claim? I don't bang, I rock the good rhymes. The whole scenery reminded me of good times. I don't like to feel bad, I'm put in a rut by a young nigga that need to pull his pants up. He threw up the set, and then he was gone. I'm thinking to myself, won't this bitch her ass on. Her mother came in with a joint in her mouth and fired up the sets. It was sets, no doubt. She said, please excuse my house and all that. I said, yeah, cause I was buzzed from the contact. Looking at her, fucked up black and white. Her mom's bitching cause the county check wasn't right. She had another brother that was 3 years old and had a bad case of the runny nose. He asked me who I was, then I had to pause. It smelled took a shit in his little drawers. I saw her sister, who really needs her ass kicked. Only 13 and already pregnant. I grabbed my 40 out the bag and took a swig, cause I was getting overwhelmed by baby kids. They was running and yelling and playing and cussing and telling. And look at this young punk belling. I heard her knock on the door without the password. And her mom's got the 12 gauge Mossberg. The nigga said, yo, what's for sale? And the bitch came out with a bag of yayo. She made the drop and got the $20 from a smoked out fool with ring around the collar. The girl I was waiting for came out. I said, bitch, I didn't know this was a crack house. I got my coat and suddenly. The cop busted in, I had a Mac-10 pointed at my dome, and I said to myself, once again, it's on. On the carpet and wasn't cutting no slack. Jumped on my head and put his knee on my back. First he tried to slap me up, wrap me up, rough me up. They couldn't do it, so they cuffed me up. I said, fuck, how much abuse can a nigga take? Hey, yo, officer, you're making a big mistake. Since I had on a shirt that said I was dope, he thought I was selling paste and couldn't hear my case. He said, get out my face, and must have had a grudge. His reply told that bullshit to the judge. The girl I was with wasn't saying nothing. I said, hey, yo, bitch, you better tell him something. She started dragging, and all of a sudden, we all got tossed in a paddy wagon. Now I beat the rap, but that ain't the point. I had a warrant, so I spent 2 weeks in a joint. Now the story you heard has one little object. Don't fuck with a bitch from the projects.
Motherfucking project, man, ain't a joke.
Motherfucking ones and watts and sausage in LA, boy. Don't fuck around with them projects, boy. Rats will whoop your ass.